Saga Egmont presents 87 Seconds by Luna Tiles and read by David Thorpe. The instinct not to breathe underwater is so strong that it overcomes the agony of running out of air. No matter how desperate the drowning person is, he doesn't inhale until he's on the verge of losing consciousness. At that point, there's so much carbon dioxide in the blood and so little oxygen that chemical sensors in the brain trigger an involuntary breath whether he's underwater or not. That is called the break point. Laboratory experiments have shown the break point to come after 87 seconds. It's a sort of neurological optimism, as if the body were saying, holding our breath is killing us, and breathing in might not kill us, so we might as well breathe in. Sebastian Junger, The Perfect Storm, 1997. Chapter 1. The Drowned. Georg Guldman weighed the knife in his hand, trying to determine if it would do for the job in front of him. He caught sight of his reflection in the blade and concluded that he needed a shave and maybe a quick trim up top as well. Then he swung the knife like an executioner who has no time to worry about what mess he might make. Just when he found, to his delight, that he'd managed to conjure the most perfect soft-boiled egg, his phone rang.
"Guldman here," he said.
"A dead girl has been found. You're it," said the duty officer. Georg got up from the dinner table, found a pen in a drawer, and wrote down the address in the margin of his newspaper, which he still hadn't opened. Astrid came out of the bathroom in a steam that smelled of lemon and rosemary. Aqua di Parma.
"Work?"
"Yes,"
was all Georg said. She kissed him on the top of the head and tugged at the collar of his bathrobe, the pre-war one, as she called it.
"Then you'd better get dressed. You can't solve a murder in this thing."
Georg left the egg and called Trine Valentin to give her the Christianhaven address. Astrid came out of the bedroom and started eating his breakfast.
"I put your clothes out for you," she said.
Georg looked longingly at the egg, but didn't say anything. Some work habits die hard, and Astrid's many years in the costume department of the Royal Danish Opera had taught her to put out the clothes before the wearer thinks to ask. 10 minutes later, Georg was on his way. Harry Madsen's cousin was a train operator. Last year, he'd hit someone who'd jumped in front of the train, and since then, Harry had considered himself lucky to be working as a captain. To not wake up every night to the sound of bodies slamming into the machine. But on this Saturday morning, the first trip of the day on the Red Route, the boat almost full, his luck ran out. Carmen was the one who discovered her. Without thinking, and without removing the microphone from her mouth, she shouted, "Stop, Harry! There's a dead girl under the bridge!" She covered her mouth with her hand and turned off the microphone. One of the passengers was shaking his head.
"That's not a girl. That's a sex doll," he said.
But Carmen could tell that he didn't believe his own words. Harry instantly pulled into back gear, but it took a few moments for the boat to react, and for a few eternal seconds it seemed to be about to collide with the body, which was moving this way and that in the surface of the water, right by Sancta Anna Street. Her arms were white, her dress blue, and her hair, floating like seaweed, was blonde. Georg managed to get this story out of Harry Madsen little by little while the medics pulled the body out of the water. Oscar Vid, from the technical department, photographing everything. Trine had arrived a few minutes after her boss, a sports bag slung over her shoulder, and Georg guessed that she'd also had different plans for her Saturday. Was it CrossFit she did? Georg vaguely remembered the lecture she'd given him when she first started working.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?